Welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. It is Thursday, so that means you're hanging out with me, David Harrison, your host for tonight, and Brent Allen of the Pewtercast. Brent, how are you doing this fine evening?
I am doing fantastic, David. How about yourself?
I'm always doing great. And for you listeners, thanks for joining us. As always, of course, you can find me at DH82_Bucks. You can find Brent at Brent Allen Live. And you can find everything that I've been writing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at BucksNation.com. Brent, let's get right into it. Huge Monday night game. The Buccaneers are trying to go 3-0. Tony Dungy's going into the Ring of Honor. What are you thinking about Pittsburgh versus Tampa Bay?
You know, I'm thinking the same thing that I've been thinking all offseason and what I've been saying on our show, the Pewtercast, and anyone else who would listen is, hey, these three games didn't scare me as much as they've scared everybody else. You know, everybody keeps talking about how these three games, these first three games, it's the toughest combination of games to open a season since the Super Bowl era began. And, you know, the one thing that I know and that we as Bucks fans should know, the team this year is not the same thing as the team last year. And everybody was basing those arguments based on last year. And, you know, the Steelers, like the Eagles, like the Saints, are a different team than they were last year, and the Buccaneers are a different team than they were last year. So I like the Bucks in this one. I like the Bucks a lot, and whoever put the Steelers above the Buccaneers in their power rankings this year is a fool, because the Steelers are walking into this thing without Le'Veon Bell, could be walking into this thing without AB. It's possible, might not happen. I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going on with that situation up there, but you know, the Steelers just seem to be like they're in a mess this year. They really do. Like, organizationally, they seem like they're in a mess. So, you know, I like the Bucks in this one a whole lot. And that's more from an objective viewpoint than just a subjective one.
Yeah, the Steelers are definitely in some sort of a I don't know, a tailspin or something. Something's going on inside that building that's just not good. Some kind of mojo is not working in their favor. And, you know, earlier in the offseason, James and I got to talking about the Browns at one point, just because, you know, all the moves they made and the trades that they made and everything else. And I actually kind of broke that down. You know, I kind of said, like, you know, the Ravens are not the Ravens of old, right? Terrell Suggs is Terrell Suggs, but he's not the same guy that he was back when the Ravens were competing for Super Bowls. The Bengals are kind of always been on that line of pretender and contender. And I still think they're more on the pretender side, and that the Steelers really weren't the same Steelers that we always thought. And this was before the Le'Veon Bell holdout, even, because, you know, you saw signs of this last year, especially on defense. The Steelers are known for defense, and that defense got beat up a little bit last year. Not just talking about like the Ryan Shazier injury, but I mean on the field as far as stats and giving up offense and giving up points. To your point, that's all last year, but you kind of saw some of the writing on the wall. Like, the Steelers were still a playoff team. They were a contender in the AFC, but you could kind of see what we're seeing now kind of starting to develop. You know, I'm going to write on BucksNation.com later on this week. I don't know how I'm going to form it yet or shape it yet, but basically it's going to be my thoughts on how the Buccaneers can beat the Steelers or why they will beat the Steelers. If I get to the point where I'm comfortable kind of guaranteeing victory, just from watching the Browns and the Chiefs game that they played, I've already seen a lot of things that I really like. And I really think that, you know, if I'm sitting at home in my home office on my computer seeing this on Game Pass, then I know Dirk Cutter is seeing this. I know Todd Monken seeing this. I know that Mike Smith is seeing some of the stuff that I'm seeing. And it's got me really excited, because a lot of the things I'm seeing that the Chiefs were able to do and the Browns were able to do that was successful against the Steelers team, offensively and defensively, they fit what the Buccaneers try to do, and they fit what the Buccaneers can do. Of course, you got guys like AB, like you said. The latest thing that I saw from his agent was that it was a personal matter. It's been resolved. Coach Tomlin wouldn't give any details. The Steelers have always kind of been on that, I don't know, for lack of a better term, more of on the liberal side, right? Like, the Patriots would probably suspend a guy for this, but the Steelers are probably not going to suspend a guy for this. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, even during the offseason when everybody's like, oh, you're going 0-3, the Bucs are going to suck, and, you know, all this and all that because Jameis is gone, I saw 2-1. You know, this was a game with Le'Veon Bell that was kind of on that. I didn't have a hard which team was going to be that loss, right? But I just kind of looked at the schedule. I'm like, man, Saints, Eagles, and Steelers to open the season. Yeah, I can see a loss in there somewhere. So 2-1 was my prediction. I'm feeling really good about it. I'm hoping I'm wrong and that they're going 3-0. And like I said, from what I'm seeing, I feel good about it.
Yeah, David, I think the majority of Bucks fans, if they're honest, I don't think the majority of Bucks fans thought that we were going to go 3-0. I also don't think the majority of us thought that we were going to go 0-3. You know, everybody, I think, kind of floated between 1-2, 2-1, with the caveat that you just said there of, I don't know how it's going to split between the three, but it's going to be some mix, you know, between, but it's not going to be, you know, one way or the other. Hopefully we can make it one way to our side, our favorite, go 3-0.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, all offseason, I kind of felt like there's a little under the surface rumbling of hype from people on Twitter and, you know, on Facebook and just, you know, the other Bucks shows and stuff like that, where the excitement was starting to build again, but people were a little bit nervous to kind of let that be seen because of what happened last year. But some of that excitement's coming out now, and it's a fun time to be a Bucks fan. And so hopefully,
Right. I mean, cause we all went through the hype last offseason only to have, you know, the show that happened for us last year. Right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't good. So we all kind of like, well, it looks good. It looks fine. Let's see what's happening. And you know what? The Bucks are going out and they're putting it up there. They're doing it. So yeah, we're getting excited, you know, cause they're starting to prove it.
Oh yeah. And I love it. And the last time James and I were on the show together, we kind of talked about it, where some people are still a little bit hesitant. Some people are like, hey, you know, it's only been two games. Let's slow down. Well, no, it's been a fun two games. Like, enjoy these two games.
Right.
And you know what? We don't know. The team can go 2-14. Well, you know, for all we know, that could definitely be something that's coming up on the horizon. And if that happens, when this team is 2-6, you're going to wish you enjoyed that 2-0 start. So I'm in on it. I'm enjoying it all the way.
The other thing to that, David, that you're saying is for those of us who watch training camp, for those of us who watch the preseason, I mean, really watched it. The thing that makes me most excited is what we're seeing right now is not an anomaly. Yeah. It's not like they went out and had a mediocre preseason and a mediocre training camp, and now they're suddenly striking fire and getting hot. Like, that would concern me. What we're seeing on the field on Sundays is what we saw throughout the entire preseason. It's what we saw when you went to training camp, and it's just continuing. And honestly, it's a little bit of what we saw towards the end of last year as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that I think is, you know, when you combine all of that, that's what's really getting, you know, for me as a podcaster, for me as someone who follows the team about as close as one can without actually being in the building every day, that's what's got me really, really super excited for this team.
And I know you and Ryan talked about that before, that, you know, this is not a surprise. I know Carmen said that. I think she said it on your show. She said it on our show.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. If you've been paying attention, I mean, the Bucks have been doing some good things. And I think that's where kind of those rumblings of hype was kind of where we're coming from, and kind of sitting there under the surface before the season got started. As you already know, you're listening to the Locked On Bucks podcast. But what you may not know is that ever since James and I started this podcast, we've been getting asked for our advice on games, like who's going to win, who's going to throw for how many yards, who's going to score this many touchdowns. And I'll tell you right now, we may not always know the answer, but what we do know is that what you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, which is why we want you guys to go to and check out MyBookie. Where you win, they pay. Listen, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know that MyBookie has been really good to us. They've been with us for quite a while. And I'll tell you, and you've heard it enough times, but I cannot tell you enough how much we recommend MyBookie. They've got in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points. And the reason that MyBookie has been with us so long is because of you guys. Since they started working with us, MyBookie has been slammed with new bettors, but they want to give everyone the best service possible. So here's the new deal that we've got with MyBookie. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, MyBookie will give you an additional $25 free play on any deposit over $100. So if you join now, MyBookie is going to match your deposit. If it's at least $100, they're going to give you another $100, and they're going to give you a free $25 to play with. I don't know, guys. That's a pretty good deal. And all you have to do is go over to MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and use the promo code LOCKEDON25. That's LOCKEDON25. Again, that's MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid. Even if you were expecting a good start, or even if you predicted a good start, there's always something that's going to surprise everybody, right? Even Coach Cutter was kind of knocked off balance a little bit by Ryan Smith's performance against Philadelphia. Who are your biggest surprises this season as far as players? Like, one on offense, one on defense, or if you got two on one side of the ball, that's fine too. But who are your kind of like your two biggest surprises of the year so far?
Well, I mean, I think for everybody, it almost would go without saying that it's Fitzpatrick. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm going to put him in my penalty box and not use him.
Yeah,
because it's too obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, to me, the biggest, you know, surprise, I think, has been Sean Wilson, the undrafted free agent that we brought out, you know, and I don't want to get into the whole Rojo being inactive and stuff. And that certainly is a surprise in and of itself that he's been inactive, mm-hmm. That he's just being a rookie. But also that he's kind of, I don't want to say he's gotten shown up by Sean Wilson, but Sean Wilson's proved more valuable because of his special teams contributions. And, you know, he had one carry, you know, and it was just one, but it was for 9 yards in the regular game last week. So to me, you know, Sean Wilson has been the biggest surprise on offense. And I think for defense, Justin Evans. And the reason why I picked Justin Evans is because I think he is the most improved. I think he is the person that we have seen take the biggest step from last year to this year. Justin Evans is just been a beast in these first two games, and he was through camp as well. He did really good last year, but he was still a rookie last year, and he made rookie mistakes, and he got up there and he learned. Justin Evans feels like a guy who's playing in his third and fourth year, not a guy who's playing in his second year to me. So for me, Justin Evans is probably the biggest surprise on defense.
Yeah, he's definitely looked good. And Sean Wilson, you're right. He kind of, you know, when the first list of undrafted free agents came out, nobody really circled him. And then as soon as they started putting drills on the field and putting drills on tape, he definitely built up a name for himself pretty quick. He's a guy that I'm actually looking forward to in this game. And like I said, something I'm going to write about. Actually, I kind of see a role for him, and I'm kind of hoping maybe the Buccaneers roll him out there a little bit more than they have so far in the regular season. So my two biggest surprises this year, and same thing, I was kind of on the same thought process, is Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be kind of off limits for me for this, because sure, that's the easy choice. So for me on offense, honestly, it's been OJ Howard, and it's a little bit unfair because it's not really what we've seen from OJ. It's the fact that we've seen so little from Cam Brait. And I think we talked about that a little bit last week, you and I, and I know James and I have talked about it. And with Ryan Fitzpatrick, right, working primarily with the twos last year and even a little bit this year as him and James kind of went back and forth a little bit, it seems like he's just got a better rapport with OJ Howard. And a lot of people have commented on how Cam Brait is just kind of Jameis Winston's guy. And there's this a little bit of an expectation that when Jameis Winston comes back and is on the field, that's when Cam Brait is going to, his production is going to come back again. Honestly, I don't know how much that type of situation is factoring into snap counts, and OJ Howard is dominating the snap counts. And we talked about it last year, and even when he was drafted, and you know, we wrote some things over at the Pewter Plank when we were there about what's the future of Cam Brait, because when you draft a tight end in the first round, you're not drafting this guy to be part of a two tight end set. You're drafting this guy to eventually be the number one of that two tight end set, if you like using two tight ends, right? Mm-hmm. And so eventually OJ Howard is going to become the guy. But I don't think I expected him to become the guy at the tight end position so quickly. I still expected it to be more of an even type split, like maybe a 60-40 snap count, maybe a 60-40 stat split between OJ and Cam, because OJ, let's face it, is the more athletic of the two. But I still figured Cam Brait would be a significant contributor, and we're only two games in, right? So still a chance for that to become true. But so far, two games in, that's kind of been the biggest surprise to me, is OJ, because of what he's done to essentially eclipse Cam Brait.
Yes, I think that's a thing. I think there's probably a lot of it has to do with the connection between Jameis and Cam Brait. Like, they just, you know, they're connected. Jameis looks up and sees Cam, and he tosses it to him. But you know, I'd like to see the snap counts for when they're both on the field as well. You know, because it we do run a lot of two tight end sets, and you know, I know a lot of people have kind of made a thing about this. And my deal with both Cam Brait is, as far as what he might be feeling about this whole situation, look, we're 2-0 and we're dominating. Mm-hmm. I don't think he cares a whole lot right now.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. I really don't. But I also really expect to see when Jameis gets back, Cam will probably get a few more looks. He'll probably get a few more touch, at least more targets.
Yeah.
Than probably what he's gotten so far. But keep in mind, Cam Brait really specializes in those, you know, those 5-7 yard little out routes, you know, whereas with OJ, and what we're seeing with OJ is those have been a lot further down the field. And this offense as a whole through these first two games has been way more vertical. Like, it's been way, you know, just way out there. So, you know, there's been, I don't want to say fewer opportunities for those smaller passes, those dink and dunks out to a guy like Cam Brait. But, you know, I think that's just, I think that's a product of what we're seeing with how this offense is being ran this year and what's been available to them. So much of the last 2 weeks, David, is yes, it's our offense being who they are meant to be, but it's also because that's what's been available. You know, the DeSean Jackson on the first play, 75-yard touchdown was not the play that was called. It's just what was available, and they took advantage of it. So, you know, I'm not making too much of a deal out of it. I think Cam Brate's still a wonderful addition. I think he earned his contract, and you know, I suspect he'll be here for a few more years, but I also have no problem with OJ Howard being the quote unquote number one guy. I'm still glad to have Cam Brate on this team.
Oh, most definitely. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that Cam is probably sitting back with his zero catches and 0 yards, enjoying every minute of this 2-0 start. I mean, if his new contract and his words to his agents showed anything about him, is that he's all in on what the Bucks have going on. And he's just here to be a part of it and contribute in any way, shape, or form. And we all know contributions on an NFL team don't always get measured in stats. So value is definitely well worth the money that the Bucks are spending and paying him. So, and I do believe his production is going to go upward once James gets back on the field as well. And then on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, Justin Evans is a great pick. But for me, honestly, it's JPP, and I'm not gonna lie. It's a little bit of bias myself, right? After getting burned by Baker last year, it really, once we kind of saw that Chris Baker wasn't gonna really develop for the Buccaneers, I went back, and I know a lot of us have, and I kind of got into the point where I kind of look at now how I look at Bashaud Breeland, right? And he's the guy who's come up in conversations from time to time because the Buccaneers are thin at corner. Especially with Brent Grimes being injured, especially with Vernon Hargraves going on injury reserve. And he's a veteran cornerback out there. He was expected to be one of the higher, you know, sought out players. He was signed initially by the Panthers, failed the physical because of a foot injury. And then since then has not been able to land on another roster. What it reminded me of was when Chris Baker left the Redskins made pretty much zero attempt to keep him in Washington. And he signed with Tampa, and we all got very excited. The national media got very excited on what he was going to do. Eat up blocks for Gerald McCoy, yada, yada, yada. We all know the saga there, right? So when JPP came over, I kind of looked at it in a similar, even though it's different, even though it was a trade situation, not a player who was free to negotiate. Mm-hmm. I looked at it in a similar situation. I was like, man, well, the Giants, I mean, this is a guy who's kind of been a cornerstone of their defense. Got it. The fireworks accident happened. That sucks. But if they're so willing to give up on one of their players or give up one of their players, What does that say about that player? And then I started, you know, going through Giants websites and going through Twitter and looking for Giants fans and searching JPP as a keyword and all this other craziness. And what I noticed was just an overwhelming sense of happiness. Fans were happy to see him go. You know, I mean, even the ones who were like, hey, thanks for the memories, bro. Good luck. Like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I was like, oh, man, here we go again. We're about to get fleeced. You know, this is about to happen. And I got it. He's only got one sack. But the biggest thing, right, that I caught was JPP no longer makes big plays when it's needed the most. He's a garbage time guy. He's only getting sacks. I think Denver last year was like the biggest game where it's like the game was sealed and the Giants were basically just doing nothing but rushing the quarterback, pinning their ears back or whatever. And that's when he got like three sacks or some craziness against the Broncos, and it made his season numbers look much better than they were. So to see him come up with that one sack against Philadelphia right after the turnover, the Eagles are pretty much starting in field goal range. The game had pretty much been all Buccaneers up to that point. And then to see Jake, because I think everybody probably had that feeling. Every Bucs fan is like, oh, crap, here. And this is where it starts, right? So to see JPP come around there, keep that motor running, get up behind Nick Foles and bring him down, knock them back into their own field, their own side of the field, turn their huge advantage, huge turnover, starting off in Buccaneers territory, and basically flip it all the way back onto him. That was just great. So honestly, that one play is really what does it for me. But just what JPP has brought to the field already in two games has been more than I expected, partially because of what Chris Baker did.
Yeah, and you really can't discount. This is one of those things you can't draw a direct line from this to the stat sheet or from this to the score on the at the end of the game. or even the win-loss record at the end. But what JPP has brought in for the culture of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line, I don't think can be understated. When we start talking about changing the culture around here and things like that, watching him in camp, watching what he's doing with these guys, watching the interviews that we've seen him give, and knowing that he's taking that same kind of attitude back into the locker room. And we've heard it. If you're listening to the locker room interviews, you hear it. Like to a person, they're all saying this is a different locker room than we had last year. And these are the guys that were here both years, right? Like it's a different, the people that are here, there's something different about this year. And, you know, JPP, I love what he's bringing. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank, and apparently so does Jason Light and his people. But, you know, I think he's got more left in the tank than what other people may realize. But more than that, what he brings to this defense, you know, high caliber, Super Bowl attitude, you know, hard worker, carrying a chip on their shoulder kind of a guy. I don't think you can undersell that as well as that one play, which looked really great, by the way.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Locked On Bucks podcast. But I got a question that I want to ask all of you out there right now. Isn't it crazy just how much we all pay for new brand name clothes? I mean, if you have kids, why do we constantly buy them brand new name brand clothes just for them to outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to go to get gently used, barely used clothes for a fraction of the cost? Well, now there is, and it's Swap.com. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off of retail prices on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. It's all quality, hand-inspected items, and they're added daily. If something doesn't fit, you'll enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Right now, Locked On Bucks listeners, you're going to get a special offer just for listening to this podcast. If you head over to Swap.com right now, you're going to get 35% off select items for your first order using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, all one word. You're going to find new deals every day at Swap.com's homepage. So head on over to Swap.com and get that 35% off with your promo code LOCKEDON. Brent, moving on from that. So we all know what's coming after the Monday night game, right? Obviously, this is important. Trying to get to 3-0, prime time. Tony Dungy, all of that is great. Can't wait to see it. But Tuesday, the headline is going to be, at least in part, right, the return of Jameis Winston. And this is a conversation James and I have had, but you and I have not had this conversation yet, so I wanted to have it with you as well. Who on the active roster right now do you see as the quote-unquote bubble guy to get cut or waived, maybe eventually put on the practice roster if they qualify, to make room for Jameis Winston?
To me, it's a pretty simple one, and I think it's a guy who will clear waivers and come back on the practice squad, but it's going to be our wide receiver. I think he was our fifth-round pick, Justin Watson. You know, he's been inactive the first two games, so he's a little bit of a superfluous player at that point. I'm glad that we are past what we saw him do in the preseason. You know, I don't know how much of that time and distance helps him as far as not getting picked off of waivers. And that to me, honestly, was my main concern. You know, the wide receiver room that we have is super deep, super, super deep. And I think that this particular wide receiver core, at least these four, the DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Adam Humphries, is going to go down as one of the better wide receiving groups, you know, probably in NFL history by the time this thing is all said and done. And so with that said, you know, we're looking at Freddie Martino, who brings a lot with special teams and other places. And, you know, you have a guy who's getting, you know, he's inactive. He's a little bit extra. So to me, it's Justin Watson.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Like you said, I'm a little bit worried he's going to get poached, especially by some of these teams out there who have kind of been through the Buffalo Bills have been through receivers like it's water falling through a strainer. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit worried that what he put on tape in the preseason might cause him to get poached. Mm-hmm. But no, like you said, I mean, he's obviously been inactive for the first 2 weeks. And you look at the other players who have been inactive for those first 2 weeks, Brent Grimes, Rojo, Vita Vea. I mean, you're not it's not going to be one of those guys, right? So that kind of limits. I think you're definitely looking at guys who have been inactive for the first two games as your candidates, Justin Watson being one of them. I think it's Alex Kappa. I think there was a and I know that coming into the draft there was definitely some excitement about him, and I get it, and I agree, and I like Alex Kappa, but I think if I'm looking at Alex Kappa and I'm looking at Justin Watson, my gut tells me that you can sneak Kappa onto the practice squad more securely than you can sneak Justin Watson onto the practice squad. So that's kind of why I went there, because those are the two guys that were on my list as well.
So I'm going to push back on that just for a second, if you don't mind. I think here's the difference is the offensive line as a group is much more prone to injury and needs the depth more than the wide receiver group, which is also prone to injury. But with the depth that we have, you know, I if I'm looking at those two guys, because it's an interesting argument you make, David. It's not one that I would have thought of, I think, on my own. But it definitely has merit. But when I'm starting to look at, you know, who might get poached, who might not. I mean, you know, Alex Kappa, he's a D3 guy, you know, but he had a terrific, what was it, Senior Bowl, I think he came to. Yeah. And he looked decent through camp and what he put on tape in the preseason. But, you know, I think I'd feel more comfortable having him around, you know, if I had to pick between the two. Than Justin Watson. But the, you know, the other side of that, and maybe we're putting too much emphasis on who's going to get poached, because remember, Cam Brate was on our practice squad and he wound up getting poached, and then we brought him back, you know, or he wasn't on our practice. I think we cut him, you know, at the cut down, and he got picked up by the Saints, and then we wound up bringing him back. And same thing with these guys. And don't forget, people get on the practice squad, they can get taken off your practice squad too. So, you know, the practice squad isn't a super safe place to be either.
No, no, definitely not. That's a very good point. So let me ask you this. So there's two offensive linemen who have been inactive for both games to start the season. Alex Kappa is one, and then I'm gonna mess up. It's Leidke or Leidke.
Yeah, Michael Leidke.
There you go. You probably know how to say it better. And which of the two, if you got to lose one, like there's no chance to store either one of them on the practice squad, who are you willing to give up?
Ooh, and no chance of storing them on the practice squad.
No, they're going somewhere. Someone's getting them.
Yeah. You know, Michael Leidke made a really, really great case for himself. Plus, he's got experience. So between the two, I think I have to go with the experience on this one. He's still young enough. You know, Leidke is still young enough, but he does have a bit more experience. So I think I've got to go with that between the two.
And that's why, and that's that right there is the same thought process I had, which is why I settled with Kappa over Watson, because I feel like it would hurt more because of his presence and what he was able to show. I think it would hurt more to lose Watson, even though you've got Deshaun, you've got Mike, you've got Chris, you know, you've got Humph out there. Even, you know, Freddie Martino's done some good things. Bobo showed some good things at times. I don't know, like finding really tall wide receivers who can stretch the field, you know, to a certain extent, and some of the catches that he made in the preseason. I got to keep that guy. I can't run that risk, and you know, that's kind of the way I looked at it. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what the Bucks do, right? Because James is coming back Tuesday, and that news is going to come down pretty quick. And you know, maybe next week we'll have something to talk about with that decision as well. So last thing, Brent, before we get out of here, that I want to talk about is our your bold predictions for Monday and your final score prediction.
All right. Well, I've got two bold predictions. And seeing as how last week I went 1-for-2, I missed the one about the kicker, but I got the one about the guy who had a positive 125 yard game. But I've got two, and my first one is this: I think that finally, and I mean finally, the Buccaneers will snap a really bad streak that they've had going on, and I think that they're going to pull out a win for a Ring of Honor induction game. Finally get a win. I know they've had like one, but the rest of them have not been good. So I think it's my bold prediction is the Bucks win, but it's a Ring of Honor induction night, you know, for Coach Dungy. So I think that's one. And then the other one, kind of to go back to a conversation that we were having earlier, you know, just a few minutes ago, I think this is the week that Cam Brate does it. So maybe I should go over to my bookie. I think he gets a touchdown this week. Cam Brate gets his first touchdown of the week of the season this week.
Is it going to be on that seam route? You know, they love that seam route in the red zone with him.
Cam Brate's getting a touchdown. However it happens, he's getting a touchdown.
All right. And then final score prediction. What do you got for us, Brent?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think that in this game, our offense is going to continue to fly against this defense. And I think they're actually going to turn it up even from the Eagles game. So I say the Buccaneers, I already told you, I think they're going to win. I think they're going to come out 36 points this game. It's going to be a high scoring game for them. I also think that the defense is going to continue its upward trajectory. And I think they're going to hold this team to under 20 points. And so I'm saying 17. So 36-17, I think, is the final score for this game.
Fantastic. A resounding win on primetime. Nationally televised game. Tony Dungy in the Ring of Honor. That would be amazing. I would probably just not show up to work Tuesday and take whatever punishment comes with it if that were to happen. So fantastic. Brent, of course, as always, this is twice right now, so I can say as always, a pleasure to have you joining me here, helping me fill in the space that James leaves empty when he's not here. For Brent Allen Live at Twitter, myself, DHA2_Bucks. Again, you can find everything that I'm writing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at BucksNation.com. Thank you for joining us. Have a happy rest of your Thursday from everybody here at the Locked On Bucks podcast.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you. You spent the weekend.
Have you seen, by the way, the change that he's made in his intro?
I have not, but I should definitely go check that out. Oh, I haven't noticed it anyway. I've listened to a couple of shows, I just haven't noticed it.
Yeah, you should definitely give that a listen, because he changed it the first day.
Uh-huh.
And I remember laughing, of course, but I thought that was going to be it, but he's actually changed it for good, apparently. So,
All right, cool.
So yeah, so you're already making an impact here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. So,
hey, listen.